Welcome to Your Q, an open invitation to come together, collaborate, and take action towards a more connected, informed, and thriving Douglas County. Your Q is all about celebrating, uplifting, and educating our community. Each week, we'll highlight the people, ideas, and organizations making a difference, and invite you to join us in shaping the future of Douglas County. Supported by the Ford Family Foundation and brought to you by Roseburg Schools. And now, Your Q on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon and welcome to Your Q. We are here today, Tiffany, to talk about the fair today.
Right, super exciting topic we have today.
Love the fair.
Yeah.
Favorite fair food?
Favorite fair food. I'm gonna have to go with the big, huge thing of French fries.
So good, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking probably elephant ears. That's nothing more American than elephant ears, right?
True.
So I love that. We've got the Douglas County Fair coming up. We got some great guests here today.
Yeah, we did.
Fun. We've got to talk about the fair, fun, freedom, the theme this year for next week's Douglas County Fair. So thank you to our guests for being here. As we dive into the fair and all the things happening in the county with the fair. So it's gonna be exciting. So we've got a great panel today. Thank you very much for being here. We'll have turn some time over you to introduce yourself. Kaylee, let's go ahead and start with you.
Sure. My name is Kaylee Powell, and I teach agricultural sciences at Roseburg High School. So I serve as the Roseburg FFA advisor. But in respect to the Douglas County Fair, I serve as one of the swine superintendents for the swine barn for the FFA end. So I primarily run and facilitate the swine show there at the Douglas County Fair. On top of facilitating the Roseburg FFA chapter and all of our exhibitors across several barns. So,
great. Yeah. Love it. And we do have a world-class FFA teacher, CTE teacher of the year, CTE teacher of the year in Oregon. So great to have you in studio again, Kaylee.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. My name is Olivia, and I was just this past school year the chapter president of Roseburg High School. And then also the district officer, district treasurer. And then I show market hogs for the Douglas County Fair.
I love it.
Wow, great. Very cool. And you just won a recent award.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. I won the Cow Creek Scholarship for the FFA side. So that was super exciting. It's $7,500. So that was a big one for my pocket, which is good.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thanks for being here. Caitlin, hi.
Hi. So my name's Caitlin, and I'm the president of the Douglas County Ambassadors, and we're basically the teenagers behind the scenes planning fun events like the games and goose chase for other youth agriculture kids at fair.
I love it.
So this fun.
The brains behind keeping all of the youth excited about all the things. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yep, and leave it to our youth. They're all incredible.
They're amazing. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly Simonson. I'm the 4-H program coordinator for Douglas County, which means and if it's anything 4-H, I'm in charge of it. We help out with our great partners with the Roseburg Rotary and with our FFA chapters to put on the Rotary Market Auction for all of our kids. Our association runs the 4-H kitchen, so great food at discounted prices. And all that goes right back into our community and into our kids.
Love that. Hi, Nikki.
Hello. Nikki Opp. I am the exhibit director at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. So my role is to oversee all of the open class competitions and exhibits at the fair. That includes all competitions in the exhibit building where you see quilts, baking, photography, art. We are in charge of the floral building, so all of the floral exhibits, garden plots, and then there are also open class animals that are shown. We have beef cattle, dairy cattle, goats, and sheep. And so I have superintendents that work under me, but I oversee all of that.
Wow. A lot of pressure right there.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Fantastic. And speaking of pressure, mm-hmm. Great to see you.
Yeah, I am Sayara Keith, and I am the Douglas County Fairgrounds Complex Director. So I oversee everything that happens out there, whether it be just fair or year-round. So we kind of work with our partners, 4-H, FFA, Rotary, and go through the Livestock Association when we all meet and put on the fair together.
Wow. Love it.
You're one busy lady. That's, you have a lot of jobs to do.
It's fun though. I've got a great staff that that works under me, and they're amazing. And without them, it wouldn't happen. So we're very lucky to be a great team.
Yeah, so. let's jump in real quick to some of the logistics on this in terms of, so listeners know what to be excited about next week. We do want to open the curtain a little bit later in terms of how things happen, but some specifics. Let's talk a little bit about the fairs coming up, the 5th through the 8th. Mm-hmm. What can you tell listeners to be excited about, to know about in terms of the fair coming up next week?
There is lots of things. So entertainment, between concerts and roaming acts. You have vendors that are local and not local selling items, talking about events going on in the community. We have, of course, 4-H and FFA kids that'll be showing all week. We have the auction on Friday night. So there's really every day there is something for everybody to come in and see. And we do have a fair app that has a full schedule of everything going on. And so if you download that off of our website, then you can see when to be where and what you're going to be having happen. It's pretty exciting.
Awesome. You have 24 food vendors. That's a lot of food vendors.
We do. We have a lot of food vendors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's all kinds of different foods. So you've got your traditional, but then we actually have a Korean corn dog that's coming this year. Mm. And one of my employees and I got to taste one last week, and it was really, really good. So I just have to say there's lots of fun new things this year. We also have several vendors. We have a lot of commercial vendors too, so.
Very cool. So the 4-H kitchen,
that
sounds really cool too. And getting the kids involved and they're making food. How does that look?
So our 4-H Leaders Association runs the 4-H kitchen. They have a kitchen coordinator who does a great job coordinating all the foods. And with her team, they coordinate the menus. They have meals of the day, which is everything from being able to get a Thanksgiving dinner to being able to get rice bowls and all kinds of things that they have going on. They have a variety of foods. The kids that work in there are giving community service hours to give back to their community and be able to make contacts and connections with people. And then all the funds from the 4-H kitchen go into scholarships and to support our 4-H youth in the county. And one of those big projects that they're using those funds for this year is helping to purchase brand new small animal cages for the small animal barn.
That's so great. What a great way for them to really take ownership of that. So they're in there making the food and then also like cash handling and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
So cool.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great. They have amazing breakfast.
Yes, they do.
Very good breakfast.
Well, let me just mention one thing, too, for our listeners, too. I know there are some, like, daily specials in terms of admission. It's America 250. I love the freedom aspect of fair, fun, and freedom, which is great. So we talk a little bit about, I know Wednesday there's some free admission kind of each day or some reduced admission. Just for listeners so they know those would be great.
Yeah, so on Wednesday, it's seniors free. You're 65 and older. You get in free all day. So that's a really big one. And then on Thursday, Armed Forces and Veterans get in free until 5. And then on Friday, it's Dress a Veggie, which is my favorite, from 10 to 1. So you decorate a vegetable, bring it to the front gate. You get in free, and then you take your vegetable to the exhibit building, and it gets displayed for all day Friday and Saturday for people to see what you've come up with.
I love that.
And then my kids 12 and under are free too, which is every day. And another really good one is for teens. If they bring canned food, they get $2 off. So it's a great way to get a couple dollars off and give back to the community.
I love that.
Very cool.
That's great.
And it's so good that you do that for our community because there's a lot of people that struggle, you know, making it to the fair and participating. And so having ways that it's more affordable is really important.
Yeah. And if you ride the bus, you get in for free as far as parking's concerned.
Oh, great.
So they try to find a way to get everybody there for free some way.
So good.
Yeah, that's great. I just have one question. I definitely want to talk to our FFA and 4-H youth here as well in just a second here. But when we think about the fair, what do we think, what does the fair represent for Douglas County? What does it mean? Because and the reason I kind of bring this up is this, one of the themes on the show has been how the community benefits when there's like these multi-generational activities where you can get young and kind of more experienced folks together in the same place, that sometimes a community can feel, not just ours, but in general, a community can feel siloed if like the youth just don't interact with people who are going to be a little bit older and vice versa. Something that's been a thematic thing we've heard a lot about, and the fair does this in a way, but I'm curious about like what the fair represents. What does it mean for Douglas County, and what is that? How does it identify us as Douglas County? We think about the fair. What is it about this fair that's unique to us here in Douglas County?
I think we do a really good job at making sure that we have a little bit of something for everyone. The kids interact with people of all ages. We have one leader that's been a 4-H leader for 58 years. And so her being able to pass on her traditions and her knowledge to all of the community and to all of the kids, and then the kids being able to give back to the community also helps. And it also helps solidify some of those ingrained traditions in our community. Like you were saying, you know, grandparents and parents all participated in the fair. We have fond memories of going to the fair. And I think it's just one of those common things that everybody can kind of wrap their minds around of shared experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There really is something for everyone. I mean, it's just booming. And it's a really important tradition here in Douglas County.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are lots of ways for people to be involved. So, and I'm speaking from my end of the deal with open class exhibits. So open class meaning anybody, it's open to our community. So we have categories and competitions for youth, very, very young youth, up till through adulthood and senior citizens who participate as well. And we get lots of exhibitors who were exhibited when they were young. They bring their kids in. They're bringing their grandkids in. And it's a wide
variety of ways they bring in with their quilts that they've been making.
Or they love baking together. Or they garden together. Or my grandma was an artist, and now I am also doing some art pieces. And so I think that just kind of builds that. Let's get together. We have families that get together to put together their exhibits for the fair. I think in the barns, we have open class exhibitors, people who have ranches and farms that are there in the barns with the youth from 4-H and FFA, and they are working together and learning from one another. And so
by design, it does that, creates multi-generational opportunities, lots of chance to talk and learn from each other.
Yeah. That's such an important piece. Mm-hmm. It really brings us together as a community, like a family, and it's great. So how do people get involved in that if they wanted to jump in and share a talent?
Yeah. So, you know, it's it really comes together quite quickly. We spend most of July getting our building and the barns ready, but we don't know what's coming or how many items are coming or what until the Saturday before the fair. People start bringing, people don't need to pre-register. You just need to bring your items to the fairgrounds, the exhibit building on Saturday, especially non-perishables on Saturday. And our staff helps people get them categorized
into competition categories where they're placed next to items that they're judged against.
There's over 2,000 categories that you can be placed in. There's something for everybody.
Wow, that's yes. So cool.
So people often are like, well, I don't know how to do it. All you have to do is bring your Anaheim out there. We know how to do it.
And it's very quick, very easy. We get you set up. There really isn't a limit. We ask that people don't enter more than 2 items in 1 category. But other than that, if you entered in all 2,000 of them, we would love to have all those entries. So
where do you find the categories?
So if you go to the fairgrounds website, there's a link for fair and open class exhibits, and the handbook is there, and it gives all of the rules and all of the categories that are available.
Love that. Let's shift gears a little bit. One of the things I've always loved about the fair are not just the animals. That's always interesting to me, but to watch the youth with these animals. I'm always shocked at like the care I see there, but there's so much more that goes into what you see at the fair, right? So maybe to start, Olivia and Caitlin, I wonder if you could help listeners and maybe myself understand a little bit better FFA and 4-H are distinct. They're separate organizations. Like, where, what is, where are they different and where are they alike?
So I would say the main distinction between 4-H and FFA is that 4-H is through all ages from 9 up to 18, and FFA is only just for high school, and depending on your school, some offer a middle school program. And then another difference is that 4-H costs money through you personally, and FFA is through your school. Mm-hmm. So you can only be in the chapter with, like, the school district that you're in or whatever school you go to, whereas 4-H, you can be in any across the county as long as you're willing to travel.
I would say the same thing, just the age gaps are different. So, like, I showed in 4-H since I was 9, and now I'm doing FFA, so... just kind of the shift is different, but not like the ribbons and stuff are different, but really it's like, it's alike for morals and everything. And mm-hmm. just like the rules are all the same, which is nice for the transition. So it's just cool to get everybody to like do both and, you know, see the difference.
Yes.
Dad, really is a culture, you know, of agriculture here, which is huge, which actually really our community stands out for.
Yeah, so it's great.
And you said that you create opportunities for kids even younger to participate. What does that look like?
So we, through 4-H, we have a Clover Bud program, which is for if you're under 9 years old, you can participate in certain activities. Like, we have exhibit opportunities, and then some barns offer shows, but it's not, you're not competing against people older than your age category. And then 4-H in general offers from ages 9 up to 18. So if you're younger than high school or middle school and can't participate in FFA, then you can be in 4-H and still show in the same categories with the same animals or be in exhibits and things like that and still be able to participate in agriculture without having that age restriction.
Okay, so it starts at 9.
For regular 4-H, yes.
Okay. And okay, so I was just, yeah. So so is there anything that is for younger kids?
Yeah, with the Clover Bud program is ages 5 to 8.
Oh, cool.
And so they're more of an exploratory 4-H program. They're more trying to figure out where they find their spark, what really lights their fire and what they get interested in. And so they can dabble in many things. They have entries that they'll put into the fair as well for participation. Like Caitlin was saying, our small animal barn, they team up with a 4-H or FFA member and they do a little Clover Bud exhibition show with like a guinea pig or a rabbit, and just kind of get experience, a little bit of hands-on experience before they go into the big 4-H.
That's very cool. That's such good preparation for the program. And we are actually heading to a break really quick, so stay with us and we'll be right back.
The conversation continues shortly. This is Your Cue on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. This is Your Cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to Your Cue. Really great discussion about the upcoming fair, Fair, Fun, and Freedom coming up August 5th through the 8th. I am amazed how many opportunities there are for the community to be involved in this. I'm looking forward to the fair this year. It's going to be amazing. I did want to turn, Kaylee, maybe to talk to you and then talk to our students here a little bit, our former senior and former student and graduate, Olivia. Let's talk a little bit about what it means when we, like what FFA means, and also maybe for Caitlin and Olivia to talk about, you know, what have you learned in terms of like raising these animals and caring for these animals? Sometimes they're going to market or be judged. Like what are the lessons you've learned that maybe you don't learn in that traditional classroom setting? We think about the education or experience you've had. What does that mean, and what's it meant for you?
Yeah, for both 4-H and FFA, for these students who are raising livestock projects, whether it's large livestock or small animals, but especially those students that are, you know, putting together a market animal to exhibit at the county fair, is a big endeavor. And regardless if a student is starting at 9 years old or if they're doing it for the first time as a senior in high school, they're still walking away with some incredible skills from animal husbandry and care to understanding animal nutrition, and also like what are the consumers looking for in a valuable meat product. And so there's so many layers of what these students are learning through their experience.
many of them, obviously, they have the goal of selling this animal and making a profit. But along the way, they're keying off so many essential skills in producing a market quality product, or knowing how to efficiently care for an animal, if not multiple animals. For FFA specifically, because FFA, as a national organization that's tied to most ag ed programs at the high school level, some at the middle school level, many of our students are raising livestock as a supervised agricultural experience, also known as an SAE, which is an essential part of ag education. And so we really, really strive to encourage students to develop an SAE around a livestock project if it's feasible to them. And fortunately for a lot of high school programs, they can also do so by offering and facilitating a land lab facility where those animals can be raised, especially for those students or those youth that don't have the means to care for animals elsewhere. So that's something that's super exciting. A lot of high school programs offer. And it's just a really, really valuable opportunity for students to gain immense skills in caring for these animals. Learning financial management is a big part of that, is knowing how to balance their funds for caring for that animal and what they're putting into it and what they hope to get out. And not to mention just the amounts of responsibility that goes into raising this animal. Like I said, feeding, washing, walking, exercising, training them for the show. And some projects are short term, or like our Douglas County Lamb Show, you're only looking at a couple months, whereas some of our cattle kids have had these animals for almost a year now. So every student is getting a unique experience to them, which is incredible. But overall, all of these students are walking away with some really, really amazing skills. And it's great to support that in our community and get to see people to come to the county fair and get to these kids to get to show off all of their hard work, which is really, really cool.
And I appreciate you bringing that up because, I mean, Olivia and Caitlin, it's a lot of work, right?
Do you love the work?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a lot of work, right? And I always appreciate that because I think as a community, we have a responsibility to value that work. We often say we want students to have that kind of experience, but as a community, then we need to show up in support of that, right?
Yeah, and there's such a narrative that kids these days don't work like they used to. And it's like, well, okay, wait, they do. Yeah. And there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
How many students would you be able to give a round estimate of FFA and 4-H students that participate?
Kelly would have the best answer for that one.
We have 618 4-H members right now countywide, and that's from Reedsport all the way to Crater Lake. And then for our FFA kids, just I have the market numbers for those. We have a little over 120.
That's great. Yeah, that's awesome. So Olivia, Caitlin, what has it meant to you? What have you learned through this process of caring for? And I mean, because we've got time management, financial management. There's a lot going into all of this, just the care for, like, say, animal husbandry and making sure they're cared for. What has that meant to you? How's that going to help you?
I've been doing this for 9 years now. And like the main thing that I've learned is just like perseverance through all of it. You know, like the financial part is hard because you have to like calculate like for profit and everything. And then like taking care of the animal itself, you know. So like I want to go into the medical field. So that's taking care of people. Right. And so it's almost the same thing of like learning how to take care of animals and learning how to take care of people. They're really closely related. So that has really helped me just like stay in tune with like my pigs, you know, and just to learn how to help them just be successful. And just like you learn so many things, like just about worldly things, you know, and you just can just develop so many skills that you can use, not just through like in agriculture, but in through life in general. So that's just been really impactful for my life.
Yeah, I love that.
So important. The skills you're learning.
At what age did you become involved?
My older sister, she's 3 years older than me. She started when she was 9. So like since then, we've been just raising them. So it's been about 12 years now.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Caitlin, what about you?
So I'm on my fifth year of 4-H. And I'd say the two skills that I've probably learned the most are responsibility and then confidence. Mm-hmm. while school does have classes like budgeting and stuff, you don't learn it on the same level as having like market animals and actually having to make those profit sheets and budgeting and all that. I feel like I've gotten really good at budgeting because of 4-H, and I also do market lambs, so that has helped a lot with the finance and responsibility part of that. And then I've gained a lot of confidence since I started 5 years ago. Whether it was being like thrown into leadership positions or just showing in general, you have to have a lot of confidence in yourself and a lot of like leadership aspects to be able to do that and to show well.
Yeah, it's been a common theme with our youth involved in FFA. Just there is a confidence factor. There's a speaking factor. You can just tell that confidence and the grit is important, because if you're not, you have to stay on it. If you're gonna do this, and it doesn't really stop, even though it's a weekend.
Yeah. These kids they're running their own business.
Yep.
I mean, to be able to have hands-on experience from front to back, watching and the financial aspect of it, you really do gain the tools to run your own business later. And so that's great. Do you do your own marketing too?
Yeah. Or in a way they do.
Yeah.
In a way.
Kind of.
Yeah. With like the buyer's letters.
Yeah, I like of your buyer's letters.
Yeah.
Just kind of presenting ourselves, you know, like marketing or advertising. Yeah.
Well, let's talk. I'm curious about, I mean, the Fair Endeavor itself is a huge endeavor. And I'm guessing there are a tremendous amount of partnerships.
Yes.
As part of the fair. And those are probably businesses and other folks, schools and nonprofits. And if we talk a little bit about that, because it does take, there's kind of a parable there, or if you will, something to learn about, like to make things happen. It's oftentimes better done when there's partnerships involved, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of a life lesson for us. There's probably a lesson learned. Can we talk a little bit about how the fair brings these partnerships together, and kind of why that collaboration is so valuable to pull the fair off?
I think some of the partnerships are just historical, that they've always been. Mm-hmm. We all have a great relationship working together. And so there's those that are just built in there. And then there's those that we have to go out to the community and ask for. And some of those are through sponsorships, through local businesses, supporting the fair itself, supporting 4-H and FFA separately. There's also then, businesses that we need items that they donate for us. You know, we have a lot of equipment and stuff, shadings, things like that we all need for fair. So it's really just every aspect of our community in some way can help the fair. And so reaching out to those businesses and seeing what they can help us with is really, really important to the success of the fair. We couldn't do it without those partnerships. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of your biggest supporters, like your biggest supporting partners?
Oh, boy. Sponsor-wise for us, I would say Clinton and Mercy Medical Center and the tribe are our top three as far as financially helping us be able to put the fair on. And a lot of people don't realize how incredibly expensive on the fairground side of it it is to put the fair on, because we don't charge 4-H or FFA to be at our facility. So, you know, putting all the panels and everything that goes into setting up for these kids to come is solely on our financial, most of it on us to come up with a way to do. And we do have, luckily, we did have some great partnerships with volunteers that come in. How many did you say we had this weekend for kids?
We had 75 kids show up.
75 kids help us.
Yeah.
They come every year and do a fair cleanup day.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them a list of projects that we'd help with. So that's a huge partnership. We would not, the barns would not be clean. Bleachers would not be washed down, without those partnerships. We're a small crew of four maintenance staff. So we have to have our community partnerships in order to be successful.
You also have civic groups that come in and do parking.
We have 7 or 8 civic groups. Yeah. So we hire very few part-time employees anymore. We've gone to mostly civic groups. Geneva Academy does all of our parking.
Yeah.
Roseburg Cheer does bingo.
We've got the high school. Roseburg High School actually does our Pepsi booth.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas High School does all of our trash.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually pay all those groups back to come and help us. So we're giving back to the schools and the community groups that help us. Then in return, they get to give,
whatever their project is that they're working on to raise money for.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. I love how you're roping the youth in, giving them a sense of belonging in the community. That's really important.
Yeah, it's great. So let's talk a little about how to quantify this, but there's a social impact on this, which is like getting out and being with people and being in the community and seeing what the youth's doing, which is awesome. It's amazing. We'll get to entertainment in a minute. What do you think the economic impact is? The fair certainly has an economic impact in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is a driver in the summer, mm-hmm, for economics. Do you have any idea how we measure that economic impact?
I mean, we have some numbers as far as people outside of the community.
Yeah.
I don't have a hard number for you, but I would say it's huge. You know, most of our vendors are from out of the area. Mm-hmm. So they're coming in and they're staying in hotels. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're shopping here. They're getting gas here. They're eating meals here when they're not working. Mm-hmm. They come early, you know, to set up. So they're also using those times. Mm-hmm. In our community. So, I mean, it's definitely a huge economic, besides what is spent in the grounds that goes back into the community through vendors and you know, what we provide. But just outside of that, what the, you know, the tourism that it brings into the community is a, mm-hmm, really large part of our success.
Yeah, and I think with this economy where people are, you know, kind of wondering about rates and economy, and we've actually heard some news recently about, you know, certain businesses maybe shutting down or leaving. This has a significant impact on local businesses here. Mm-hmm. They're bringing people here to Douglas County, spend money here, to, mm-hmm, shop here, to stay here. So
it really is a testament to what we can do as a community to come when we come together and work together towards, you know, a goal of, yeah, creating something. I mean, it is generating a lot of income for our community. In fact, I think it'd be really cool to actually, have you considered like doing seasonal community events at the fairgrounds, like similar to the fair, but like, I know that you're like, oh gosh, okay, cool.
We actually do. So, I mean, we have Christmas fair, and you know, that's 300 vendors. And I would say over half of those are not local vendors that come in. And so all those people are staying in hotels and RV parks and all of that. We do the sports show. We have a couple of other large home show, which is not our event, but it's produced at the fairgrounds. We host over 250 to 300 events a year at our facility, whether it be fundraisers or local communities or, you know, trade show type events, gun shows. So there is a huge economic impact that a lot of people don't realize the fairgrounds has. You know, we do not get money from the county from general funding. So every event we host, mm-hmm, out at the fairgrounds is how we stay open. Mm-hmm. That keeps the fairgrounds open. That includes buildings, facility maintenance, all of that, staff, everything. So without the events and without those, then we couldn't give back to the community. So it's a big full circle,
yeah,
on how we serve the community and then the community serves us.
I didn't realize that. So this is a significant event for the fairground complex.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it
is. To continue to serve the community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without it, we would not be open year round. It's really important. And it's something that, you know, the fair board and I have been tasked with really making sure that that's something we discuss in our community, because a lot of people don't realize that every event out there keeps us open.
Yeah, that's great.
So important. Yeah, and I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie myself. I love the rides. Is there any way to incorporate that component, like a carnival type ride thing? I don't.
So, I mean, the carnival, you know, people think that we pay the carnival to come. I actually didn't know that until this year. And I've seen a lot of, you know, communication, mm-hmm, on that. And it's actually the opposite. So the carnival pays us.
Oh, interest
to come. And so they come, they put on the show, and then they pay us a percentage, which again, in return, helps keep us open and helps keep the fair going and being able to provide for the kids and everything. So it's not, yeah, it is something that they pay us actually.
That is very interesting. Yeah.
What a lost a bet on that economy. All right. Well, let's talk a little about entertainment. The fair's, mm-hmm, got lots of different things. We're talking about animals and so can we talk a little bit more about the entertainment options? I know there's concerts and music, mm-hmm, and so let's dive into a little, yeah, more about the entertainment.
Yeah, so on Wednesday, we have bull riding, which is, mm-hmm, always a favorite of people, and it's a local
dye that comes in and puts it on. So that's been an amazing partnership that we've had for a really long time with him. And so we have that on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we have country artist Aaron Lewis, who I'm excited about. He is sold out in our reserve seating and pit area. So it's going to be a very busy, very big, fun night. And then on Friday, we have our rapper Tone Loc, which Funky Cool Medina. So that's a throwback to early 90s. And then on Saturday, we're gonna close out with Nico Moon, who is a new and upcoming country artist. And he just had an album come out, and he's a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a really good Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And those are our big artists. And then we also have on our garden part mm-hmm. stage all day. We have local people coming in that perform. Mm-hmm. We have a senior talent show on Wednesday. So that's a lot of fun. We have a diaper derby. And then we have some bands this year I brought in from out of the area to close out after our big concerts. So one of them is local, which is Captain Blue. And then we have, it's called Huckleberry Road. They're a great band, Cody Ponder Band, and then the Trevor Hanks Band, which those are all Southern Oregon bands. So they're still local to Oregon. So it's going to be a fun time as far as music and entertainment. And then, of course, we have all of our other entertainment that's coming as well that, you know, Stilt Walkers. Mm-hmm. I have a fire dancer that'll be doing a nightly show, which we're pretty excited about. And then a comedy guy on our Garden Park stage too, Matt Baker. So he should be quite a bit of fun too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot to do at the fair.
So yeah, and it's really cool that you have like traditional things that happen, and then you also are incorporating new things.
Yes.
Every mm-hmm. year. So how do you juggle those?
You know, we go to conferences and kind of check out what other fairs are doing, what entertainers. It's really cool. We get to go to a couple of conventions that showcase what, you know, what artists are doing and what the other fairs are doing. And so I try to always find something old that's still walking. And then maybe something new that you haven't seen that is going to be fun to come do at the fair.
Great.
Yeah, we value tradition here, right? So yes. Some things you don't want to change everything.
Correct.
Right? But keeping it fresh is, mm-hmm. is fantastic. All right, I'm going to move us just to kind of keep the, maybe get this moving here a little bit. I'm going to do a rapid fire round, okay? This is like kind of like sometimes just one, you know, one answer questions here just to get us going. Maybe it's the audience get to know you a little better. So let me start with this. Favorite fair food?
I love a caramel apple. I can never pass one up okay. every year.
I'd say an elephant ear every time.
Mm-hmm. You and I right there.
I always get a funnel cake last day of fair.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not fair without an elephant ear.
There you go. It's my people right here.
I agree. Okay. Elephant ear.
I'm the crazy one. I love the Hawaiian teriyaki. It's
great. Tiffany, what's on your list there?
No, I'm. I like the big French fries. The whole big pile of French fries. I don't know. Mm-hmm. My kids and I. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody's hungry.
That's right. You shouldn't go hungry at the fair.
Yeah.
Favorite animal.
I do want to try the 4-H kitchen.
Oh, yes. That's for sure.
I'm going to try that because mm-hmm. that sounds amazing.
Okay. Favorite fair animal.
Ooh, baby pigs.
I like the Nigerian dwarf goats.
Oh, cute little things.
I'm excited because we have pheasants and quail coming this year.
Oh, yeah.
I like my bunnies.
There you go.
I like the pigs.
Yeah, I'm a pig girl, like through and through.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tiffany?
The horses.
The horses. There mm-hmm. you go. Okay. Favorite ride?
Mm. Oh, okay. I don't know what it's called, but it's the one that goes like upside down. It's like, it looks like a spider a little bit, and then it just like spins upside down. Okay. It's like probably the most intense ride there.
It's like upside down teacups. Yeah.
Well, yeah, kind of.
As I've aged, I'm not really big into rides, but like the classic that always just got me giggling was the Scrambler.
Oh, the Scrambler.
I was going to say. I just always just laugh so hard mm-hmm. when I was on that ride.
Mine would probably be the same one. I think it's the Freakout. I think it's what it's
called. Okay.
Yeah, that one's the same. Yeah.
Freakout. Yeah.
My favorite's also Freakout or Kamikaze.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big carnival girl. I like watching the kids have fun, and that's where I'm happy at.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of a outside the gate, just watching the fun, having kind of carnival attender. Yeah.
I also say the kid would have been the Kamikaze.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of risk takers here. Yeah. With fair food, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, two more for you real quick. One hidden gem at the fair everybody should look for this year.
On the FFA side, one thing that I'll shout out is FFA still has a lot of like static exhibit stuff. So they have the agricultural mechanics mm-hmm. and educational displays that people can see there in Douglas Hall. But the one that I really like to highlight that I think is pretty underrated is the FFA does FFA presentations. And so that is a public event there in the exhibit building on one of the days where FFA members can do like a 7 to 10 minute presentation on an agricultural topic of their choice. And so they're presenting it to a panel of judges. And oftentimes it comes with like visual aids and them doing demonstrative work. And so it's really awesome for them to get some amazing public speaking skills. Mm-hmm. And it's also open to the public. So anybody can come in and watch the presentation.
Where has this been my whole fair life?
I did not underrated thing. And actually, I roped Olivia into doing a presentation this year. And so she chose to do a presentation on sourdough production because she makes some really mean sourdough. Oh.
That is a that's in the exhibit hall.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Any specific day?
I think you guys are Thursday.
I think it's Thursday, and it usually runs anywhere between like 2 and 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I think 2.
It just depends on how many students sign up.
Thursday too.
But
okay.
Yeah, it's really awesome to see. So Roseburg is really excited that we have a couple students that are doing presentations this year.
Love that. So good. Any other hidden gems at the fair that we think about?
So Quail Valley Art Center partnered with us and got a grant to paint a mural on the exhibit mm-hmm. building stage. Mm-hmm. So we'll be debuting it at fair, and it's amazing. Some local 4-H and FFA kids also got to do part of it. So we're really excited for that.
Okay, I love that.
So cool.
It looks really cool.
Very, very cool.
I think also that. One more that draws a lot of families is our school art that gets displayed. Yes. There's this year, there's well over 2,000 pieces, probably closer to 2,500 of kids, kinder, pre-K through sixth grade. And it's wonderful art. We have some very talented kids.
We really do. And I love the feeling that the kids get when they're like, Mom, my kids, they come, you're like, I have something at the fair. I got a ribbon. Oh, my gosh. You know, and they're so proud. It is such an important thing to, incorporate that sense of pride.
Yes.
For the kids. So
It is some of the most beautiful art out there. Yeah. I love what these kids come up with. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was going to say one of mine, but I don't think it's very hidden, is the bingo. I always play bingo, know, and I won blackout once. I got like $100. And it was great because I didn't expect it. And it was kind of like we need to sit down and rest. But man, it's great. It's actually really fun. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a tradition of mine. And I think the RHS cheer team.
They do. They run that. They manage that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that the money that's raised goes to the cheer team. Is that right?
They're one of the civic groups that the fairgrounds pays to run that event mm-hmm. for them. And so the money goes to the fairgrounds and they receive payment for that.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. So good.
But it's a big fundraiser. I had a cheerleader and it paid for many of her her outfits, her shoes, her pom-poms. It paid for that.
Those are not cheap.
And again, everybody's the importance of a community event where we rally together.
Support the community. I love the fact that we've got funds going to support other students and other schools and other mm-hmm. industries and our local businesses. So thank you all for your work on organizing this fair, being part of the fair, and what a great community event we have coming up this next week. We're going to turn it over to you real quick. So this is your chance to kind of give our audience here their cue, which is coming from you, as we get thinking about this week and the fair coming up or life in general. So mm-hmm. we'll go ahead and turn it over to whoever wants to start here.
I would say on the exhibit side of things that people are excited when the building is full and there's lots to look at, and that happens when people engage and participate. So if there's a talent or a hobby or something that you enjoy and you have worked on projects around that, even if it's growing flowers in your yard, people would love to see that. And so I encourage you to reach out to us at the fairgrounds and the exhibit building, and we can help you participate.
I would say as people are going around and looking at the exhibits and the animals and things like that, to check out some of the educational displays mm-hmm. that the kids have out in their areas for 4-H and FFA, have conversations with them, ask them about their projects because they love to talk about them.
I'd say as we're celebrating this year's theme, right, fair, fun, freedom, knowing 250 years of heritage of our U.S., but fair, throughout the generations, it changes. Every year is new. Every year has new memories. I remember being a little girl, and I'd spent every single summer at fair, whether I was showing or even too young to show. But regardless, fair is a great time of the year that brings so many people together. Mm-hmm. And so even though fair might look different to some people as it did 30, 50, you know, some years ago, even for me, just, a couple dozen years, it still brings the same amazing feelings. People, I love fair. And I love what it brings to kids. I love what it brings to the community. And like Kelly said, I think it's a great opportunity for community members to get to come to this fair, and definitely don't downplay on getting to see these incredible kids' projects and all the hard work they did, whether it's their livestock projects or their static exhibits, educational displays, crops. There's so many ways to celebrate what these kids have been doing. So I really encourage the community to do that. Try to get there and see all the incredible work that's going on behind the scenes.
Love that.
Yes.
Caitlin?
I would say from like an ambassador perspective, we've done a lot of things this year behind the scenes to make sure that there are fun events for our youth in agriculture to participate in. Our two main ones are we have our goose chase and our fair games that we do every single year. And we've worked really hard this year to make sure that those are steered towards all ages of youth. I know that in the past, they have steered a little bit more towards like younger kids. We've kind of rounded that back out to where it's enjoyable for all youth. And those are just some fun events that you can do. Fair games for like downtime after fair is over, they're always in the evening. And then goose chase is all week from Tuesday morning until Friday night. And that's just a bunch of like fun missions and questions and activities to get to know your like county, your fairgrounds, and then like the other peers and youth around you in 4-H and FFA.
It's great.
How fun.
Yeah.
I love that. I would just say the just stop by like for if you're there's a kid in a pig in a pen, you know, like in with their animals and everything, just stop by and ask them how they're doing, because it's fun to like have old people be like, oh, how have you been doing with your pig, you know. It's just super sweet just to like hear that engagement from people that are not in it, like behind the scenes and everything. So it's really cool just to answer our questions, you know, which is fun.
I love that. Yeah. You were looking at me when you said old people and I'm like
I would say just explore. There is every nook and cranny of our facility has got something different, things you would never think of. So take the time to go through the barns, the buildings, show your kids that the animals, but also the buildings have fun stuff for kids too. So just go through, whether you're young or old, there is literally something for everybody. And just take the time to go through it and enjoy it and have fun. And be excited to see people that you don't normally see. I know that's a big thing. I see a lot of friends that I don't see the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. So it's a great time to just come out and be with your community.
Mm-hmm. Celebrate your community. Celebrate Douglas County.
Yeah, I love that.
Yes.
Tiffany, what do you got for us? Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll say for anybody with kids, it's still pre-sale for bracelets. So definitely want to go on the website, pick up your bracelet pre-sale. You get a little cheaper. And just come to the fair and celebrate with our community, and also support our youth, because as our young people here are saying, it's really important to them that people go and talk with them, ask questions, show their support. That is actually significant for our youth. So please do that. They are the future and they're all incredible. We have amazing, incredible, talented kids. So
you're definitely going to want to check out the after show, where we will be going deeper into the auction details. This is important because there's some really healthy animals that have been well taken care of. And so you're going to find out all that you need to know to participate. And for our youth who are all rock stars in this area of work. So definitely hop over to the after show. And until then, have a great week.
Join us Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Or watch online on the Roseburg School's YouTube channel and the Your Q Facebook page. This show is built with our community, for our community. If you have an idea for a conversation that celebrates, uplifts, or educates Douglas County, or know someone we should feature, we'd love to connect. Reach out at yourq@roseburg.k12.or.us or message us on Facebook.